Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Senator.
Today we're talking about an article that appeared in the Reader on March 19th, 2015, written by you and Mick Dumke.
The great Mick. I'm sorry.
You'll try it again?
The great Mick Dumke.
titled, Chicago Police Are Spying on Citizens. It's a pretty descriptive title.
Yeah. Sums it all up. And themselves, I think.
Yeah?
That's a whole other...
So that I point the camera in the mirror?
Yeah.
So it goes on.
How do police spy on police?
In the bathroom fans at the police station. You and Mick report on a half dozen instances of Chicago police conducting surveillance on protesters and activist organizations since the year 2009.
That is correct.
You write that, quote, we asked for copies of the paperwork required when police open what they call First Amendment-related investigations, which are prompted by or based upon a person's speech or other expression according to department rules, end quote. How did you learn about this requirement?
It was a mini obsession of mine about a year ago. This had to do with Mo and Gloves, who were the nicknames for the undercover police operatives who were...
spying on the NATO protesters.
Also infiltrated the mental health movement.
People who are protesting the closure of about a half dozen mental health clinics.
That is correct. So instead of finding the money to open up the clinics, Mayor Rahm found the money to spy on the activists who were protesting the closing of the clinics. It was while doing that that I learned that the police had this undercover operation where they sent in operatives, and that those two operatives went public because they gave testimony against some of the people they were spying on who were charged with various offenses, terrorist acts, which weren't really terrorist acts at all. And it was then while doing that story that I discovered that there's a procedure that the police have for these kinds of undercover operations. And since the undercover operations are investigating ordinary citizens who are participating in First Amendment protected activities, it's sort of like a First Amendment waiver that has to be filled out, if you will. In other words, we are waiving our rights. Well, actually, we don't waive our rights. They're waiving their rights to abide by the First Amendment. So that's paperwork that has to be conducted.
How did you find out about that paperwork?
There was a whole trial, the NATO 3 trial, and the undercover cops had to go on the stand and talk about how they were assigned to the undercover operation, and then that from there, they had to get permission to infiltrate the mental health movement. Not really that mental health movement per se, but the Occupy movement, which took them into the mental health movement. So that's how I learned about this, by the testimony offered up in that trial. And so I told my colleague, the great Mick Dumke, about it. We asked the police department to turn over all of its records of its investigations. And they sent Mick 26 pages of redacted reports. In other words, they were blacked out and we can only see the dates. Every now and then there would be like a sentence or two that for whatever reason they chose not to black out. So it was sort of like a comedy.
After you got the redacted documents, you also got the Illinois Attorney General's office to ask the police department why it made these redactions. And the police department responded with reasoning that itself was redacted. Yeah. Have you considered going any further to get that information?
Yes. We're determined to take this wherever it takes us. We're waiting for the Attorney General to respond. The Attorney General has not. So there's a whole process. Let's just back up for a moment. This is a mini obsession of mine, the peculiarity of the FOIA law, which is effectively set up to deter us from getting access to information they should just provide us.
This is the Illinois Freedom of Information Act, which spells out how citizens can request information from government agencies.
Yes, it was written by State Senator George Orwell.
It's from Rantoul, isn't it?
Yeah. So the way the process works is if a citizen, reporter, anybody, you, me, whoever, wants information and sends in a request, an official request, under the Freedom of Information Act to a public entity seeking that information. And if the public entity does not respond by giving us the information, then we, the citizen, can appeal to the Illinois State Attorney General, Lisa Madigan's office, to act as a referee. And so there's a lawyer in that office.
Public access counselor.
That is correct. And his or her job is to sift through the request and the response and determine whether it is a legitimate denial of information or it's an illegitimate denial. And if it's the latter, the state will compel whoever the public body is to turn over the information. So we are now officially waiting for the state to make some sort of decision. Lord knows when that will be made. The state could say the police are totally within their rights not to turn this information over because it's sensitive and could expose some undercover operation, even though these operations are no longer in existence. They're closed. Or the attorney general can say, we see no compelling public reason to keep this hidden from the public view. And so we are going to order you to turn over the information.
And the information we're talking about at this point is the reasoning that the police department has of why they redacted the other information.
Yes. Ultimately, we would want all the information, but that's the ultimate irony. And again, points out the utter folly of the FOIA law, where the police department not only has redacted the information requested, which are the official reports, but then they redacted their explanation of why they redacted the official reports.
So presumably they told the Attorney General's office, and then they requested that that information be redacted
right.
when it was sent to you from the
correct.
Attorney General's
yes.
office. Yeah.
I don't know what follows, Dave. You probably know FOIA law better than I do. I have to call in Mick. Quick, call him on the phone.
Well, you've appealed that decision.
Yeah, we'd appeal to go to courts. We have to hire a lawyer. And
that's if they deny this appeal.
Right. If the state's attorney general denies our appeal, I believe. Since we wrote the story, other people either have FOIA'd or tell me they will FOIA the police department to get these records.
Why should they have any more success than you guys did?
Well, if Mayor Rahm told them to turn it over, they would turn it over. It's always good to have more people involved in any movement.
Say the Attorney General's office denies your current appeal, and the only next step you would have if you wanted to take it further would be to try to take them to court.
Mm-hmm.
Would the reader pay for that?
I have no idea about that. We haven't even gotten to that stage yet.
Did you learn anything about how the police department decides when and why to use covert surveillance?
No, again, because all their explanations are redacted. What Mick and I did, and this became sort of a parlor game, was to try to make educated guesses as to what they're up to and see if we could find any patterns. And I detected a pattern, if you will, that explains these covert operations. Now, let me just back up one point. We're not absolutely certain that these cover all the operations that may have occurred in the last 5 years. Again, we only ask for the last 5 years because if you ask more than that, then they claim it's burdensome. There's too much work, so they won't give you anything. So we figure, well, we'll limit it to 5 years and they should be able to handle that. And they didn't make that argument about burdensome. We asked for a list of all the covert operations and then they responded by saying no list exists, which is utterly absurd. First of all, they can make the list if they wanted to. And then we asked for reports. So they responded by saying, here are some of the reports. I forget the exact language, but the language was vague enough to lead us to conclude that it's a possibility that there are other reports. It's sort of like, well, these are the reports we found, something along those lines. So I don't know if these are all, there were, I believe, 7 different reports. 6 were authorized undercover operations. One of the requests for operation was actually denied by the chief counsel to the superintendent. That's the process. It's basically asking for permission, again, to waive First Amendment rights or First Amendment protection. And it has to be approved by police superintendent, effectively. And there were 7 requests. 6 were approved. 1 was not. And only in one instance do we know who they were actually investigating, and they were clear. They said they were investigating the Occupy Chicago movement. No, 2 instances. And then the other one, they had to come clean. They were investigating the NATO movement, okay, the movement opposing the NATO conference here in Chicago. So that leaves 5 that we don't know who they were investigating. So what we did was we looked at the date of the operation, when they were doing the undercover, and then what was going on in Chicago at that time that might have prompted it. Again, this is only surmising, so we don't know for certain because they won't tell us. But the common denominator has always been a large public demonstration against some sort of public spectacle, for lack of a better word, that is being championed by our mayor. Presumably, they're worried that the mayor will be embarrassed. and they're using the cloak of security. Well, we have to make sure these terrorists don't do something bad. They didn't even say terrorists, these bad guys who do something bad. So, for instance, between March and April of 2009, there was an undercover operation authorized. Again, they don't tell us who they were spying on, but when you look up the clips, and I knew this anyway, and you do too, because we talked about this a lot, that was about the time the International Olympic Committee was sending a delegation to Chicago to tour the city, ushered around site to site by Mayor Daley in order to advance Mayor Daley's application to win the right to stage the 2016 Olympics. So it was a very precarious moment for Daley's application there, and he needed to put the best face forward. And the last thing he needed were people demonstrating in the streets against the Olympics.
And listeners can read the article to see what other connections you made, what surmises you made based on what events were going on during the dates that the police department disclosed that they were conducting these surveillances. Did you learn anything? I'm guessing not, because it was so heavily redacted. But did you learn anything about where in the police department's organization these surveillance operations reside? In the police department, we have a couple dozen local police districts. We have three, as I recall, area headquarters where the detectives work out of. Any sense of where?
There's an intelligence unit.
That's smart.
Yeah. I'm not a student of the police department hierarchy, so I don't know where exactly they fall, and I don't know how cut off they are from the rest of the rank and file. I will say this, and this gets back to the protests over the International Olympic Committee coming to town. One of the most public protests and perhaps most effective protests, I think it played a role in Chicago so decisively getting trounced in their application, took place on, I believe, April 3rd of 2009 when the International Olympic Committee came to Chicago. And that's when about 1,000 or so off-duty Chicago police officers and their families went to City Hall. I actually know a few cops were in this protest to protest the fact that Mayor Daley was so slow on signing a contract. So they were chanting, no contract, no Olympics.
They were kind of circling the block.
They circled the block, and I applaud them for that. They were exercising their First Amendment rights, as any citizen of this country has. It's one of our most cherished rights. My hunch is that the police were spying on the police, which wouldn't be that hard for them to spy on the police since they're members of the same outfit. So it would not require quite the same trickery when they infiltrate. They send an undercover cops to infiltrate the mental health protesters. They have guys wear shaggy hair and beards. And
these guys could have actually been cops in the protest.
Yeah. I would love to see the internal reports. Were they reporting back to Mayor Daley as to what the police were up to? How many other protests did the police intend to do? How far would the police take their protests? How embarrassing would it be? Those are the kinds of things I think they're looking for. I don't believe they're looking for any real criminal behavior, because there isn't any when you're just spying on ordinary activists. So my guess is they were spying on the cops as well.
That's kind of a fun thought. You mentioned earlier that you were trying to determine the cost to taxpayers of having the police spy on protesters with regards to the mental health clinic closings. What, if anything, did you learn about that?
I've never learned. I asked the police, I asked them that when I did that first story. I literally asked the police all these questions that we FOIA'd. So I asked the police, how many of these kinds of investigations have you had, and how much money does it cost? And what one of the investigations, Chicago Teachers Union, were you spying on the Chicago Teachers Union? I still sort of wonder about that myself. It hadn't occurred to me when I was asking these questions that they would actually be spying or possibly spying on police in conjunction with the 2009 Olympics protests. I was thinking more in terms of Mayor Rahm's administration, because that's where I learned about this. That's when I learned about Mo and Glove spying on the mental health activists.
But when you start pulling on the ball of yarn.
Ultimately, I've learned very little more about the whole thing from the FOIA process than I did when I started this thing. Well, I do know that there were 7 such operations, so I guess there was some benefit to filling out the forms.
What do you think about the complicity of prosecutors in police surveillance operations? For example, Cook County State's Attorney Anita Alvarez vigorously prosecuted the so-called NATO 3, who were indicted as a result of Chicago police surveillance, and she prosecuted them under state terrorism law. In fact, last December, Alvarez's prosecutors gave her an award that honored that prosecution.
And then Mick and I gave those prosecutors an award from our, I don't know if you saw our column for awards for that year. I think they were the biggest brown nosers of the year, or something like the apple polishers. They were in heated competition with Tom Tunney, the alderman of the 44th Ward, who not only just votes for everything Rahm does, but actually circulated his petitions. I don't know what to say other than they were all up to no good. And that was just an embarrassing moment for Chicago. I mean, everything about the NATO summit coming to Chicago, the fact that Mayor Rahm would shove that down our throats, the fact that he would raise so much money from private donors to fund it. I forget how many millions. For some reason, 50 million sits in my mind to promote something that's just so useless.
They had some left over.
Yeah, and then I know then they make such a big deal about whenever like they build a play lot with the money left over from this debacle. And then at the same time, he's cutting the budget so he has to close clinics and threatening to close libraries and closing schools and firing teachers. And it just shows how misplaced our priorities were. And then, God, I don't know if you remember the three-day event. Like the city was on shutdown. It was like locked down. You know, it's like a police everywhere.
The private donations paid for the police salaries too, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. If you say so, Dave.
That's what they say.
Well, I believe whatever they say. You know? It must be true. The fact that they prosecuted these three guys, the thing was a farce and it was an embarrassment. And I actually think that much of Mayor Rahm's unpopularity stems from that. And that was very early on in his administration that he made the announcement that we were the lucky recipients of the NATO. Remember the G8, there were two of them at the outset. And it was like people were going, huh, what? This is why we elected you?
His emphasis was on showcasing Chicago to international tourists and what that would do for tourism going forward.
What a joke.
That was the line.
I know. Well, there were many lines, Dave. Let's not, you know, it was also showcasing us to dignitaries, leaders of other countries who would then presumably invest in our city of some sort. So first of all, what tourists would want to come to Chicago based on the images from the NATO 3 summit, which were police in the street, you know.
It's a safe city.
Go. Okay, yeah.
What could be safer?
Yeah, what could be safer? Beijing, maybe. North Korea. I mean, I don't know. But I always tease Chicagoans that they're not that bright, but most Chicagoans saw through the BS in the whole thing. And the fact that the most lasting legacy of it is the three protesters still in jail on these trumped-up charges is pretty sad.
Let's pull back a little bit. At the federal level, spy agencies are overseen, at least on paper, by legislative committees. What oversight exists for Chicago police spying?
I don't know.
There is a police committee on the city council.
They certainly, as far as I could tell, don't have any oversight on this. Now, again, all the reports are redacted, so maybe part of the redacted is we're sending this to the city council, but I doubt that. From what I can gather, and again, they're not exactly forthcoming with information. From what I gather, it's an internal system. So in other words, all the oversight is internally. And investigation is approved by the superintendent through his general counsel and goes from there.
Now, at this point, you're waiting to see what the Attorney General's office will rule with regard to the most recent appeal. Are you contemplating any further reporting on this story?
Oh, yeah. We'll, at the very least, write about what that decision is and then where do we go from there? I mean, I'll probably, if not Mick, one of the two of us will follow up on other people who are FOIAing for information and see if they get any more than we do. You never know. I just realized this when you said, well, the other people who FOIA won't get any more information than I would. And then I recalled, how can I forget this so soon? I forget this. Another obsession of mine, the Persepolis case. That's the instance where the Board of Education, in its infinite wisdom, ordered the graphic novel Persepolis removed from classrooms and libraries throughout the Chicago public school system. And when they retreated in the face of public opposition, and when the American Library Association sent in a FOIA request for all information regarding that, they got a very limited amount that had already been released. When a graduate student named Jarrett, whose last name I can't recall right now, filed a FOIA request, Board of Ed sent him internal emails. So you never know.
Whoever was like answering the FOIA line that day.
You never know, Dave.
We'll just send it out.
I mean, if you don't ask, you won't get. Right. So it's better to ask. And that's what I'm saying. A number of people who feel that they may have been the one spied on are asking for the report. So we'll see.
And part of the art here is knowing how to ask, because having done plenty of FOIA requests myself, you sort of have to guess at what they have. Because if you don't identify it precisely, they can say, no, we don't have what you asked for. There are no records responsive to your request, is the line.
I said earlier, we asked for a list of all the cases. And they go, well, no list is kept. So
there's something else.
I need help with the great rhetoricians out there to figure out a different way of making the same request in different language that they would be responsive to. And there are people who are far more gifted at this than I am. It's almost like the ability to fill out a crossword puzzle. I think there's some relationship between the way the mind works. So if there are any of you out there who can figure a different way of asking for the same thing that the police would have to respond to, you know, help me out. Again, the whole process is largely set up to keep you from getting access to information that they should just turn over to you. If it's a closed police case, I don't understand why they can't turn it. The operation is closed. At the least, tell us why you can't do it.
Well, at the federal level, journalists have pointed out that quite often the reason things are classified is because it's embarrassing to someone in the administration.
Well, that's not a very good public explanation.
I'm not justifying
it. It's no public good. You know, there. I mean, and Mayor Daley's not even around. It's ironic. We're protecting him from embarrassment. Mayor Rahm goes around blaming everything that is bad in Chicago right now with Mayor Daley. So, you know, at least release the stuff from 2009, or there was that one in 2011, the last month of Daley's administration, or last couple months. I don't know. I think they were spying on Free Tibet protesters, but I don't know for certain. We're guessing.
And then finally, you talked about people who perhaps are good with crosswords could help craft FOIA requests.
That's a thought, yeah.
Sort of journalist craft trick for FOIA is to have someone on the inside tell you what records exist.
Oh,
so then
yeah.
You know what is there, so you don't have to play guesswork. So if any of our listeners are conversant with what records the police might have,
yeah. You
can contact us via contact at shygov.com and help us out there.
There you go. Okay, maybe that's how we'll unlock it. Yeah, I'm curious. The one that I'm most curious about, there was that one investigation that wasn't authorized. My memory is 2012 was when the request was. God, that was so outrageous that even the police wouldn't authorize it.
Amazing.
Just curious what they were up to.
Well, that's all we have time for. Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
Listeners, as always, we welcome your questions and comments and suggestions for future interviews. You can get those to us via Facebook and Twitter. Search for Inside Chicago Government. I'm Dave Gloetz. Thanks for listening.